که همواره نسبت به حضور امریکایی ها هست.
You see, the terrorist actions carried out by the Americans using different methods in every corner of this world under the pretext of freedom. A few hours ago, I was informed that the U.S. president has uttered some words, probably that's been due to his confusion, because these words were uttered before, but perhaps this has been the first time that it has been uttered officially. And I was told that he said that they want to free Iran. Mr. President, Iran was freed 43 years ago and will not be kept and will not be captivated by you, and we will never become a milk cow for you. The Iranian nation has announced this on various occasions. That's been due to its insight and due to the fact that the nation knows its enemies. Today, young people, teenagers, have the same approach. They are saying the same things. Don't pay attention to a few traitors who have been deceived. This has been said by the great Iranian nation. It has been said on several occasions. It has been emphasized several times. The Islamic Republic of Iran, despite all these sanctions and threats, is treading the path of progress. And today, you see, you did not give us barbed wire. Today, we have become a major producer in the sophisticated industries, including the military and nuclear industries. Today, 95% of our needed medicine have been produced domestically, and I told our wise leader. And the first thing the UN chief told me in New York was that, Mr. President, I apologize to you and the Iranian nation because I was not able to remove the sanctions with respect to the coronavirus pandemic. I told the UN chief that six vaccines are being manufactured in Iran, and we have turned into an exporter of vaccines. In the space industry, in various industries, in the field of cyberspace, our talented young people have the upper hands in the region and the world. You cannot stop us through sanctions and threats. And our progress will never slow down. You are after slowing down this progress, but that is to no avail. Our young people, our men and women, our boys and girls will never allow your ill wishes, will never allow your ill wishes to be realized in this land. The Americans can see that we are making progress today. We do have domestic production. We have exports. They wanted to bring to zero our oil exports. They wanted to slow down the process of production inside the country. They wanted to isolate the Islamic Iran, but they failed in all their schemes. Today we have a determining role at the regional level, and all countries know Iran's role in the region. And no equation will take shape without Iran's agreement at the regional level. And all know this. And the Americans know this very well. Today, they are fully aware of our role. The Americans created Daesh in order to target the Muslims, and they caused bloodshed and massacre. The Islamic Iran, in order to protect the region in the face of the U.S. took action, and Haj Qasem became the icon of fighting terrorism at the global level. And that foiled the enemy's plots. They are after creating seditions again, and they think that they can slow down our progress, but they see that we are making progress. Our dear people, the insightful students, the university students, I'm telling you that today the enemy is targeting our national unity. Please pay attention to this point. I'm addressing the people of Kurds, Baluchis, Turkmens, Fars, the Arabs, all ethnicities. Today, the Americans and the enemies have targeted our national unity. Be aware that today our science and progress and technology have been targeted by the enemy. And we have a superior position in the academic arena. Today, the Americans and our enemies have targeted hope in this land. The Americans, following their disappointments in the past 43 years, they are targeting our tranquility and peace and calm. And the enemy is targeting our stable economy. Be aware that the lives of people, particularly the lives of people who are ready to sacrifice their lives for the sake of the revolution, the enemies are targeting these people. And one should maintain insight and vigilance. That has been emphasized by the leader. He said that one should be cautious. The enemy wants to target our positions. What do we have? We have a lot of things. We have ample positions. And most importantly, our self-reliance. The enemy has targeted our self-reliance. I said that we will not tie people's livelihood to others' frown or smile. This has been targeted by the enemy. And the enemy doesn't want us to stand on our own feet. It doesn't want our independence in the field of agriculture, industry, science, and technology. Ladies and gentlemen, my dear boys and girls, every person in every part of this land today, speaking of chaos, riots, whoever supports chaos and riots, knowingly or unknowingly, wantedly or unwantedly, that's been in line with the strategy of the U.S. and the enemy. Any such move would be in line with the a strategy of the U.S. and the enemy. And every person who takes a step in line with peace, tranquility, security, progress, and acquisition of knowledge, and the spread of science at academic centers, whoever takes a step in line with these, and whoever takes a step in line with accelerating the country's progress, he should know that he is treading the path of in line with the strategy of the revolution. These are the dual approaches. Whoever takes a step in line with riots, he should know, he or she should know that's been in line with the wishes of the enemies of the revolution. All people must know that we have had considerable progress, and with the due to the blessings of the blood of martyrs and the sacrifices by the war veterans and the supplications of the spouses and the parents of the martyrs, and the due to the blessings of the blood of the revolutionaries and many anonymous persons who have pursued a dedicated approach aimed at protecting this revolution. Today we are strong, and we have gained this strength from the blood of the martyrs. That's been due to the guidelines offered by the leadership and also the presence of our insightful people who have created this power and strength. And our strength is not limited to missile and the military industries. Our strength is based. Our strength is based on people's massive turnout on November 4th, 13th of Aban. The Americans thought that they can act similar to what they did in Libya and Syria. They want to implement similar prescriptions here, but to no avail. You have had experiences in the past. How come the Americans do not learn any lesson? The great Iranian nation will never give in to your wishes.
آنچه فکر می‌کنید به عنوان آزادی و به اسم آزادی.
What you think in the name of what did you do to the people in Afghanistan, in Syria, in Iraq, under the pretext of freedom? What did you do to the peoples in other parts of the world? We can all see these things, and we can see what you did in the name of freedom and under the pretext of combating terror. The great nation of Iran, led by our great Imam, and with the blood of our student martyrs, the martyrs of security, martyrs of the Holy Shrine, and in every corner of this world, this land has been liberated by the blood of these martyrs and will never be captured. I greet all of you, and I greet and salute all the students and salute all the participants in this gathering and to all those who commemorated this day.
تشکر ویژه می کنم از حضور با برکت ریاست محترم جمهور انقلابی مردمی عزیز دل.
Well, dear listeners, what you heard was Iranian President Dr. Sayed Ebrahim Raisi addressing the rallies commemorating the National Day of Fight Against Global Arrogance. During this speech, Dr. Raisi said, "Today marks National Day of Fight Against Global Arrogance." Dr. Raisi said, "America is the great Satan and it seeks to destroy many nations." He said, "Nations must be aware of threats posed by global arrogance." Dr. Raisi said, "US is behind 62 coups and only perpetrator of atomic bombings." The Iranian president said the United States is founder and sponsor of Takfiri groups. He added, U.S. does not want to hear the voice of the people. Dr. Raisi said, how can U.S. be champion of rights when it has founded Daesh? He said, Biden has said he wants to free Iran. And I am telling him, Iran has been free for 43 years now. Dr. Raisi said, we are now a major producer of sophisticated industries, adding that 6 vaccines are being produced in Iran after U.S. refused to give coronavirus shots to Iran. The Iranian president said, the enemy is trying to deter our progress, but to no avail. He said, Americans wanted to bring our oil production down to zero, but failed. Dr. Raisi said, we have a determining role in the region now, adding that the enemy has targeted our national unity and our progress and hope. The Iranian president said, the enemy does not want us to stand on our feet. Dr. Raisi said, enemy has targeted our peace and our economy, adding that we have had enormous advancements thanks to the blood of our martyrs. The Iranian president reiterated, we are now strong thanks to the blood of our martyrs. The Iranian president added the great nation of Iran will never kneel before the Americans. Dear listeners, many thanks for being with us.
Is there any other way to get familiar? Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood qudde saratani Israel mukhalifim.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Faith based on understanding. Saturday, the 4th of Ramadan, 1394, 21st of September, 1974. These wise people, those who ponder on the heavens and the earth, how exactly did they believe? Someone came along and told them to believe, so they believed? Of course not. These are the possessors of intellects. These are the thinkers. This caller could be a manifest caller like a prophet, but there is also an inner prophet in the form of their intellect, thought and insight, which calls them to believe in God. So a caller told them to have faith and they, based on their full understanding, comprehension, awareness and insight, answered the call. This is the second point.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
There is a third point that I want to deal with briefly here. That is that since it is faith based on understanding that Islam wants, since God Almighty does not accept faith without understanding and places no value or importance on this, that is why we see the Quran in several places criticizing blind or tribal belief. Sadly, it is this sort of belief that people adopt by leaving their brains behind. But it is this belief that the Quran harshly criticizes. And when they are told, come to what Allah has sent down and to the Apostle, the Quran, Surah 5, verse 104. This is addressed to the faithful, and I would translate its meaning as saying, come to what Allah has sent down and to the Prophet, come and see and understand. So the faithless are told to come and understand, to come and listen, to see what the Prophet says. And what is their response? Instead of coming, instead of thinking, instead of trying to understand and choosing their own way, they say, sufficient for us is what we have found our fathers following. In other words, we will follow the same path as our fathers and we will not follow anything new. One scholar says that when the Quran speaks about disbelievers, kuffar, they are always the reactionaries of every era. Whenever a prophet or a wise person says something new, opens a new path or summons people to something new, the disbelievers are opposed to it. They are tribal, blind following, ossified and a reactionary in their outlook. They will never accept a new approach. They always say the same thing. We will take the same way as those before us traveled. This is not the way we saw our mothers and fathers doing it. We want to see the world as they saw it and follow in their footsteps. But what does the Quran say in response? What, even if their fathers did not know anything and were not guided? The Quran asks, will you still follow your forefathers even if they didn't understand anything? If they didn't find a path? If they couldn't work out what was right and wrong? Do you see how the Quran rebukes people for blindly following their forefathers?
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done.
Sound from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story. In
what is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Iran's leader Ayatollah Sayyid Khamenei has spoken during a meeting ahead of the National Student Day and the National Day of Fight Against Global Arrogance. Now, among his statements, he dismissed as a lie the U.S. assertion that the 1979 takeover of the embassy in Tehran is what set off the ongoing dispute between Iran and the U.S., saying the starting point of the row goes back to the CIA-orchestrated coup of 1953. In this edition of the Spotlight, we will look at decades of U.S. hostility against Iran and why the U.S. is not an untouchable power and is completely vulnerable as Ayatollah Khamenei has stated. First, let me introduce our guest for this edition of The Spotlight. Firsal Najim joins us. He's the manager of the Canadian Defenders for Human Rights, who joins us from Toronto. Also joining us, Mohammad Ali Araki, who's a journalist and political analyst, joining us from London. Welcome to you both.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
I'll start first with you, Mohammad Ali Araki. Looking at what leader's statements in terms of where he addressed it was also important, but we're going to just focus on the statements. He dismissed as a lie the U.S. assertion that the 1979 takeover of the embassy in Tehran is what set off the ongoing disputes between the Iran and the U.S. And he said the starting point really goes back to the CIA orchestrated coup back in 1953. Why did he need to make that clarification, do you think?
Hello, and thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to join you today on this program. So the reason to why His Eminence Ayatollah Khamenei needed to clarify this and make it clear that this is a total lie is because the United States of America has had a history full of lies, hostility, and many other crimes that they have committed. The reason to why he clarified this, he made it clear that it started in 1953 when a coup occurred. This coup was against the democratically chosen elected president, Mr. Mossadegh. And Ayatollah Khamenei, in his speech today, he said that President Mossadegh, he thought good about America, and he thought that America would help him stand up against the British. In reality, the Americans, they betrayed Mr. Mossadegh, who was a friend of, who was someone who thought good of theirs. And Ayatollah Khamenei said today in his speech that the only difference, that the only thing that Mr. Mossadegh wanted and the only difference he had with the Americans was that he said that the oil of that is an Iranian property that belongs to the Iranian nation is in the hands of the British, and he wanted it to be in the hands of the Iranian nation, for this wealth to go back and be invested in the country, to be invested in the nation of Iran. But the United States of America, as I said, betrayed Mr. Mossadegh and did a very bad and violent coup during those years.
Sure. Well, aside from the fact that this was a CIA-orchestrated coup, Firsal Najim, which we'll get into the CIA role when it comes to Iran a little later, there's a very subtle differentiation that Iran's leader made, and that is the fact that he said, you know what, Mossadegh was not a religious cleric, per se. He was just a man whom, as the prime minister, wanted oil to be for the Iranians. But to the Americans, that didn't make a difference, who it was. And that's very subtle, that point, because they ultimately still wanted that oil not to be for Iran and for the Iranians in turn. Is that an important point and differentiation that was made there?
Yes. Ayatollah Khamenei is pretty much trying to expose the American agenda and their project in the Middle East, especially, and trying to show that the U.S. is after any nation that fights for its sovereignty, that wants to secure its people, its nation. And
first of all, Najim, I think we lost you. Do you have us? No. Okay, Mohammad Al-Raqi, we need to connect the dots here. So when we yes. take a look at that statement and the differentiation that I just mentioned, it shows that Americans really didn't care about who's in power, and then the oil, which would produce income for the country. That means translated that when you translate that, that means for, it would be to the benefit of Iranians. So that shows that the Americans are not there backing Iranians as they claim time and again. So when they hypocritically and shamelessly, as Iran's leader says, we support the Iranian nation, that's just not true. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I completely agree with this. The United States of America has shown in the history, in the past, and especially in the recent years in the Middle East, we have witnessed this, that any government that does not go in line with the benefits of the United States of America and its friends in the Middle East and around the world, they'll attempt to overthrow it. The government of Mr. Mossadegh was one of those examples, because the oil, if the wealth was invested in the nation and in the people, if the wealth went back to the Iranians, this would not work out for America and its friends, which in this case was the United Kingdom. And this is something very important for the United States of America, because they watch out for their friends, even if it's a crime, and they would not want, and they cannot afford, the United States of America cannot afford to make such a big loss. Therefore, they attempted to overthrow the government of Dr. Mossadegh through a coup that they made.
Very well. First of all, Najim, you're back. Please continue from where you left off, if you can.
Yes. So there, the main problem of the U.S. is they don't want any nation to be sovereign. They don't want a strong government that, you know, they choose the future of their nation and their destiny of the nation, and the relations with which governments they want to work with. And as we see here, that Iran is a very sovereign nation, very strong nation that stands up to the U.S., that does not give in to the bullying of the U.S. And its puppets and its allies, especially Israel, and they support the Palestinians. So it's really against the agenda and the narrative of the U.S. And this is why this is all pre-orchestrated, all these riots and this anarchy. You know, they wanted to find any type of little gap or weakness where they can exploit this issue and try to, you know, cause problems inside Iran. Because they know militarily they cannot face off with Iran. They have tried many times, and they have, bordered around Iran and different countries that they have occupied before, such as Afghanistan or Iraq. And they learned through their intelligence that, and they have also tested, you know, on several cases, the British or the U.S. Were arrested, like the Navy and by the British were arrested on the Iraqi-Iranian borders. And same thing in the Gulf region. The Americans were arrested at that point, the Navy, and humiliated. So they know militarily they cannot face off with Iran. So they're trying to cause something inside the country. And we see that they are hypocrites, the U.S. and the Western governments, because they talk about human rights and they talk about equality and they talk about fighting for justice and things like this. And then when they see a terrorist attack happening inside Iran and they're not friendly with Iran, they stay quiet about it and they don't condemn these attacks. And they have failed miserably over all these 40 years of the time where the establishment of this Islamic Republic of Iran. And they were humiliated, especially when they took over the diplomats from the U.S. Embassy, and now we're almost marking the anniversary of that. That was a big humiliation and very clear weakness to the American government.
Okay. What's very interesting and at the same time you can call hypocritical, Muhammad Ali Araki, is the fact that you have this U.S.-sponsored U.N. meeting that's being held about what's happening in Iran. It's being held, and it's interesting because from what I understand, it's being held in Persian, but it was something that the U.S. really initiated for it to occur. And it comes smack in the face of the double standards that's at play for a country that can't control its own human rights violations that take place within its country, namely the U.S., to then come out and then plan a U.N. meeting to convene against Iran. Now, that sets a very bad precedent. Tell us why this goes against all norms, which in one critical analysis, it says the U.S. is using the U.N. for its own political goals.
Yes, so the United States of America is using the United Nations for its own political goals, because clearly The United States is not after morals. The United States is not after helping other nations, as it says. And as you have seen, the current situation that was occurring previously in Iran, the unrest and the protests, okay, these were all backed by the United States of America. And technically, the United States of America will look for a way to give a fake legitimacy to what they are doing in the Islamic Republic of Iran. But thankfully, the situation has calmed down. And the United States of America is not a democratic country. They are not looking to help the Iranians. They have had a history from the beginning of the Islamic Revolution, going back to 1953, where the coup happened, where they did a coup against the government of Mr. Mossadegh. They have had a history of abuse, of sanctioning, of lots of different crimes that they have committed against the Iranian nation. And so I do not think that the United States of America is a government that is looking for the interest of the Iranian nation. And further on in the recent years, the Americans have confessed themselves that they have put sanctions that are unique in the history. They have said that we have not launched any such of these sanctions against any nation around the world. So this technically does not show that the United States of America is for the Iranian nation. And on the media, technically, people may see that, yes, they may be, but the reality is that the media, they are spreading lies and they are not honest about the actual story that is going on in Iran.
Well, the media has been mentioned, and the leader also talked about the report jointly that came out on the intelligence ministries. First of all, Najim, you're back. Great. So my question is to you then. This report that came out talked about the role of the CIA that was probably executed in conjunction with the role of Israel's Mossad and the British spy agency, along with Saudi Arabia, of which they executed what we're seeing to have translated on the streets, as one example. But then the media was also very much key in stimulating people who they wanted to change their perspective and their opinion. For example, using social media like Twitter, Instagram, which they used fake news in order to, again, affect people's minds. These were all pre-planned, so they took the opportunity to do that. Now, my question is, we're seeing the CIA ultimately want to go for some kind of revolution here. The regime change has been on the U.S.'s mind for decades. How much do you think they've been successful in that? And how do you see the way that Iran has reacted to that from the window of the intelligence ministries?
Yes, I think the Iranian government, the Iranian authorities were very vigilant, very patient, and they had a very good plan on how to deal with these, this chaos and this orchestrated Western project, like you said, CIA, Mossad, Zionists. They dealt with it in a very, very smart way, and they gave them room to move and do what they wanted to do in a way, but to also keep the peace and control things. And at the same time, they exposed the nature of these groups and these anarchists and these terrorists, and they showed the world as well, and showed their nation that, you see, if things get out of hand, there's going to be a lot of different terrorist attacks inside the country. And this is exactly what they did to other countries in neighboring countries such as Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria. So the Iranian nation is very wise, and they know what's going to come out as an outcome if, God forbid, something bad happened inside Iran. So they also, took time to actually, arrest all these people. And then now they will be working on collecting intelligence and seeing who these people are associated with and who's funding them and who's supporting them, things like that. And social media played a very, very bad role and very biased role. We tested that in different ways. For instance, we opened accounts without following anybody, just to see what's on the homepage and what's trending. And all you see is 80% of the videos are all about this so-called Iranian revolution, this so-called Iranian regime change, and so on. You see videos on social media pretty much empowering the movement inside Iran. I think the movement inside Iran were being influenced by all the social sure. media and media from the West, unfortunately. And you know, we've seen this, like I said, several times, even here in Canada. The other day, we did a protest against these, you know, these Islamophobic, some of them were Islamophobic, they were protesting against the mosque, Imam Mehdi Mosque here in Thornhill. Right. And they turned the whole scenario upside down, made it look like we were going to attack the protesters with the vehicle. This is what the police and the media portrayed it, you know, and they watched these Islamophobic people, like, cause all types of, you know, seditions okay. and say all kinds of very bad things.
All right, Muhammad Ali Araki, the way that this relationship, or lack of it, has progressed, there was one key moment when one of former U.S. Politician, I want to find out if you agree with me, said something that really opened the door as to the depth of the way the U.S. feels about Iranians now, just Iranians. And that was when the former U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told the U.K. government-funded network that they have, the BBC, that Iranian officials must listen to Washington if they want their people to eat. The former foreign minister of Iran said that's a crime against humanity, using those types of rhetoric against the Iranian nation. I don't know if you remember that, but if you do, please give us your reaction. And if you agree, that really shows how U.S. politicians actually think about Iranians.
So the United States of America and Mr. Mike Pompeo, they have basically... they've shot themselves in the foot by releasing such a statement, because they have now clarified here, they have done this in the past as well, and different crimes that they have committed, especially after the revolution of the Islamic Republic of Iran. They have shown that they are not for the Iranian people. They are not with the Iranian people. They have shown here that if the Islamic Republic of Iran, if they step down from their beliefs, from their policies within the region and around the world, then they will ease the sanctions. And this is a complete lie. That's not going to happen. The United States of America will not let the Iranian people eat unless, until the point that the United States of America has full dominance over the Islamic Republic of Iran, and that will not happen. So the United States have exposed themselves, and I think this should make it clear for many people that America is not with the Iranian people. And even with this recent Mahsa Amini protest that happened, we saw it that many of the trending hashtags on social media, they were done by robots. So they were not by the normal people. And it shows that clearly the United States of America is behind this, and they are not for the Iranian people.
Iran's leader, I need to mention this, Hafez al-Assad Najim, has said that when it comes to the protests, which are mainly, we're seeing a lot of teens and young people who are conducting it, he said, and I'm quoting him, they participated because of excitement and emotions and a lack of understanding of what is going on. And he said, the ones who matter are the main directors of these incidents, who act behind with a plan. So that's well known, because we're seeing the really massive advancements of different agendas that is being executed around the world, whether it's Germany, whether it's Australia, New York, California, etc. But what has happened is that that hasn't really borne the results that the U.S. wants. The U.S. has not been successful in this case or in other cases, like in Afghanistan, like in Iraq, like in Syria. The last time they won a war, I can't even recall. Can you? Therefore, showing that the U.S. is in a decline, based on what Iran's leader has said, its miscalculations have cost them the once perhaps superpower that they may have had. How do you think that, do you think that's true? Do you think the U.S. has lost that status and is now on the decline? And based on some, I guess, analysis, it's not going to be able to retain that power?
Yes, the U.S. has lost its trust in the world, especially with these last few years of what they're doing, and especially now with the Ukraine situation, how they propped up the Ukrainian Zionist Zelensky leader to start a war inside the Ukraine against Russia, and then they left him pretty much alone, and his nation just gave him weapons and so on, and exploit that whole situation. Like Ayatollah Khamenei said, that the new world order, it's going to exclude the U.S. They have no role in the new world order. They have lost their role, and they have lost their position, and they have lost their power, and they are declining. And like he said, a few years back, I recall, he said that they are similar to Titanic, and they're a sinking ship, and they will fall. So the U.S., reached to a high level of arrogance and a high level of oppression in the world, and they have lost their trust within the world. And the axis of resistance is the main victory against the U.S., and the weakness of the U.S. is because of the axis of resistance and the unified support and the blood of the martyrs, especially the recent martyrs, Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mehdi al-Muhandis. You mentioned Mike Pompeo a little while ago. Mike Pompeo is scared for his life because he knows that the Iranian government is after him, because he had a role, and he declared that he was a supporter of the assassination of Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mehdi al-Muhandis, okay, his great generals that defeated ISIS. So Iran is in a very strong position right now, and they have exposed the world, and hopefully these young people that are deceived on the streets will think about their national interest and think about the unification of Iran and the strength of the leadership of Sayyid Khamenei.
Sure. November 4th, last question goes to you, Mohammad Ali Araki. Iran's leader said the takeover of the U.S. embassy proved that Washington is completely vulnerable. In the context of the New World Order, which Iran's leader has said the U.S. is going to be isolated, do you think that is how things will transpire? Less than a minute, please.
Yes. The United States of America, the decline is irreversible. The decline is happening, and as we can see around the world, and the relationship of the United States of America with its friends around the world is going to a negative direction, meaning that it's not as smooth as before,
okay,
and United States of America will not have any place in the future
Thank
powers
you.
Around the world.
Thank you, Mohammad Ali Araki, journalist and political analyst from London. Faraz Al-Najim, thank you. Manager of Canadian Defenders for Human Rights from Toronto. With that, we come to an end for this edition of The Spotlight. From Mika Vitagwe and the team, it's goodbye until next time.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.